It is important to state what you believe. It's important to let other people know what you believe. And so at Daleville Christian Church, not only do we have an affirmation of faith in our church bulletin, which we repeat each week, some 20 different Bible verses that we use for that affirmation of faith, we share it when we share the message on the internet. And so this affirmation of our faith together today from 1 John, the second chapter. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. Today's reading of God's Word is from the letter called 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, verse 14, going into chapter 7, the first verse. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. I once said to a person who was not a part of any church that Christians give thanks, give God thanks at Thanksgiving. And I asked the question, what do non-Christians do? I believe that the person became offended. My guess is that I made it sound like God belonged only to believers. This person may have thought that I thought God belonged only to my denomination, the Christian churches. But that person missed the point. But maybe that person assumed that everyone believes in the God I was talking about. So let's all try to be clear this Thanksgiving. The Bible is clear about the source of all blessings. The source of all blessings is the Lord God, the God of the Bible. And Christians do worship a particular God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jesus is God's Son. And just to say the obvious, the God we give thanks to is not the same God as Muslims or any other religion. It's the God of the Bible whom we thank for all blessings. Maybe it would be helpful to say that we worship the same God that the original pilgrims worship, the Pilgrim Fathers worship, the Plymouth colonists worship. The Bible also calls us to give thanks to God. Whatever else others may say about the Pilgrim forefathers, they came to America to worship God, and they gave God thanks for everything. All that most of us know about the Pilgrims is Thanksgiving, right? I mean, I would say Thanksgiving, and you would say turkey, and I would say Thanksgiving people, and you would say pilgrims, and I might say Thanksgiving faith, and you might say pilgrims again, because you knew, and you know, that the pilgrims were a faithful Christian people. But that might be just about all you know about the pilgrims. And yet it is worth knowing more than that about the pilgrims. Some of their names might sound familiar to you, William Bradford, William Brewster, Miles Standish, but what do you know about the people behind the names? After all, these people left their homes, left their homeland, left their neighbors, left their extended family to come to a strange land. These people were not explorers. They were not adventurers. They were not investors. They were not land speculators. They were not prospecting for gold. They were people like you and me. Throughout history, many people came to America because they wanted to come. They came because they wanted something. They wanted a better life, or they came to America to escape something. It is closer to the truth that the pilgrims were driven from their homes, refugees, because of their faith in Jesus our Lord. That is why the pilgrims came to America. And I want to talk with you about the pilgrims, their faith, and what drove them to the American wilderness, a land where half of them would not survive the very first winter in New England. Two things to keep in mind about the pilgrims before we begin talking about them and about the pilgrims' faith. The separation of church and state is an American idea. The separation of church and state is an American ideal. The separation of church and state was unknown in Europe, even in Protestant lands. Reform in the church was viewed as a threat to the king who controlled the church. Pastors were state employees. Therefore, Americans established a separation, not an elimination, of church and state. Part of the pilgrim story is also about pastors and clergymen. Those men, as licensed and ordained clergy, were state employees in England. The king was the head of the state, and the king was the head of the church, and nothing happened in the churches of England without the king's consent. The church was called then, as it is today, the Church of England. It might also be helpful to know that English society was a stratified or hierarchical society. Power was at the top, and very little of that power trickled down. If you watched Downton Abbey or you've ever watched any British programs based on British history, you've seen this acted out on video. That means that local pastors had to answer to higher-ups. Pastors had bosses, more than one, bishops, archbishops, the king. So don't be surprised when I tell you that Pastor Richard Clifton had radical ideas in the 1600s that everyone, not just pastors and bishops, could read the Bible, discuss the Bible, and interpret the Bible. Pastor Clifton taught and preached that the people in the pew should be able to take an active part in the worship services. He taught that the people in the pew could speak directly with God, that they could pray their very own prayers of their own choosing, that they didn't have to use a prayer book, a state-approved prayer book, to pray to God. Now, at another time in British history, the authorities might have let this all pass as being a little crazy and eccentric. Ah, those Puritans over there, they're nuts. But these were troubled times, the time of the pilgrims in England. There was a real battle between Protestant and Catholic, and some of us have seen this played out in Northern Ireland. We may not understand it, but it has been true. So the king announced concerning these dissidents, like Pastor Clifton, saying, and I quote from the king, "I shall make them conform. I shall make them conform to the laws of the land, or I will hurry them out of this land, or I will do worse." And the king meant it. The authorities even came up with tests of faith, declaring that you would be true to the church's official teaching, and if not, you would be thrown out of the church. Pastor Clifton would not bow down. He was tossed out of the church. And there were two people who attended Pastor Clifton's church whose names you might recognize, William Brewster and William Bradford. Both of them later sailed on the Mayflower, and Bradford would later become governor of the Plymouth colony. But let's not get ahead of the story. So Pastor Clifton, fired from his job as pastor by state officials and officially thrown out of the only recognized church, was quickly making himself a renegade preacher, and he was quickly making himself enemies. He held secret meetings for the faithful. Clifton continued to teach and preach his seditious messages. They prayed without a prayer book. They all read the Bible and discussed it. They all sang hymns that were not in the hymnal. Not surprisingly, the little congregations that met in people's homes thought that they should decide who their pastor was. But since the Church of England was a state church, a person's absence from the state worship would be noticed, and suspicion would grow. So the absence of the Puritans from worship was noted. And so for his beliefs, William Brewster was summoned to appear before his local church court for being, quote, disobedient in matters of religion. And he was fined what amounted in today's values to $5,000. The group, or groups meeting secretly, had decided to leave England, but that wasn't easy. You couldn't leave England without a license. And you might think that the authorities might want to get rid of these Puritans, these separatists, but no. Because when you're in power, you want to have power over people, especially if you think they are troublemakers. What is that phrase? I keep my friends close and my enemies even closer. So you can keep an eye on them and their activities, like in prison. Well, so the Puritan group, they actually just called themselves saints, good Bible word. The Puritans tried to leave England without a license, because they couldn't obtain one. They bargained with a ship captain to take them away, but the captain of the ship was a loyal subject of the King of England, and so he turned the group over to the authorities. The police confiscated their belongings. Having been made a spectacle of in the town square, they were jailed for a month, and a judge released them on bail to go home. However, in anticipation of leaving the country, many had sold their homes and their possessions. William Brewster was threatened with more prison and torture if they persisted in their rebellious ways. They made another attempt to get out of the country. Half of them got aboard a Dutch ship before the authorities showed up with guns and weapons. The half that got on board the ship sailed for the Netherlands. They were not entirely safe there. One of the reasons they were not entirely safe with the Dutch is that Brewster and others were not content to be out of England. They'd left half their number in England. After all, and there were other similar groups still in England, Brewster published material encouraging dissent and free worship. He sent his publications by boxfuls back to England. The king ordered his ambassadors in the Netherlands to arrest William Brewster and bring him to justice for his, and I quote, atrocious and seditious libel. But the Dutch authorities would not comply with the English king's wishes. It would be 12 more years before these pilgrims made their pilgrimage to America. These pilgrims took seriously today's Bible reading from 2 Corinthians, especially the 17th verse in the 6th chapter. Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. Puritans pegged quite a bit of their faith on verses such as that one. Would we today recognize the faith that the pilgrims had? Well, yes, I believe we would. I believe we can recognize the faith that the pilgrims had. We're gathered this morning freely here at Daleville Christian Church. I am not an employee of the state. I am not licensed by the state. The state does not pay for this building or its maintenance. The state does not pay for my maintenance and upkeep. As a matter of fact, You who are here don't pay for this building or the pastor's maintenance and upkeep unless you want to. Your taxes do not pay for any of this. You pay for this if you wish to, if you are led by the Lord to do so, and you don't have to here. You don't have to support any religious group or any church in this country. So, do you recognize yourself this morning as a pilgrim? Are you present this morning freely? Are you reading a Bible you want to read, or a state-authorized version? Are you praying from your heart, or are you praying from a state-approved prayer book? Are you singing hymns you like, or are you singing hymns from a state-approved hymnal? Is the sermon today approved by the King of England, or the King of America? No. Can you freely give money to the offering because the upkeep of this facility and staff is not a part of your taxes? I'll bet you never considered your church offering a form of protest, did you? Your offering means you are free. Free to give or not. You're not forced to support this church or any church. When you give freely to the church, you may recognize yourself as a pilgrim. Are you grateful for any of these things? Men and women with their children gave up their homes, their homeland, their neighbors. Many of them were arrested and went to prison and returned to make a dangerous ocean voyage in order to simply do what you are doing this morning between 9:30 and 10:30. On a Sunday morning in Daleville. Would your first building in a new land have been a church? Many of you know that I speak with the third graders at the elementary school about local history. And I always discourage them when I teach them, and it happens here in the sanctuary of Daleville Christian Church. I tell them that the first settlers in this community wanted to build two things after they got their cabins and their homes built. Two things they wanted. The first thing they wanted to build was a school. And that's when all the third graders start moaning. And then they wanted to build churches. They were already meeting for church, usually in their homes, sometimes in a barn. But they build the school first, then they build the church. The pilgrims wanted a church building first. And unfortunately, they didn't get to use that building as a church. The pilgrims had to use it as a hospital, into which they carried over half their small number, and out of which hospital they carried them out to be buried. Half of them died. But they did not give up. They remained true to their covenant called the Mayflower Compact, which read in part, "In the name of God, amen, we whose names are underwritten, having undertaken a voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." The pilgrims remained true to their goal. Praise God, they succeeded. Praise God that the pilgrims succeeded. Now, you don't have to go to jail for practicing your faith to be a pilgrim. Not all the pilgrims went to jail. You don't have to sail an ocean to be considered a pilgrim. You only have to practice worshiping God according to your reading of God's Word. Then you may recognize yourself as a pilgrim. And give thanks to God. Give thanks to the Heavenly Father and to Jesus Christ, His Son. Get your pilgrim thanks on. Get your pilgrim gratitude on. Get your pilgrim faith on. Give God the praise no matter how hard life is. Give God the praise no matter how tough life is. Even if you lost your home, because the pilgrims did. Remain true to the pilgrim goal. To practice your Christian faith, and you too are a pilgrim. A happy and blessed Thanksgiving to you. Amen.